Yes.
Good evening, and thank you for having me for here today. I know in your pack you've got the full annual report from the Isle of Wight Safe Riding Children Board, and we prepared a covering report to go on site that. I'm happy to give a summary of that, as well as we provide some more updates on what we're doing currently, given that the period in which the report is reporting on was finished in March. But in terms of the annual report, you can see that the board had three strategic priorities during the 17-18 financial year. One on child neglect, one on a family approach, and I should stress that was in partnership with our colleagues from the Safeguarding Adults Board as well. One on safeguarding children from sexual abuse. And they're covering this. See substantial detail in the annual report, but the covering report has picked out a few highlights as well as noting some screening committee, particularly around some of our partnership applications initiatives that we have developed through that year and continue to the current financial year of next. We've developed an online toolkit to assist all multi-agency professionals on the islands and also in Hampshire as a multi-agency Hampshire and Isle of Wight toolkit that's online based to help professionals identify and respond to children who are at risk or experiencing neglect and assist them in their work in supporting those children and their families. And in addition to that, we have commissioned bespoke multi-agency training that is free for all professionals on the island to attend. We've had many courses this year and we have recommissioned some into the next financial year as well because it's been so positively received. The fact that it's free as for professionals to attend because it's funded by the board is, as always, a real big draw, and it's been great that we've been able to secure membership from our voluntary services and education services and our early year services as well, who we traditionally have struggled to engage because of their need to try and backfill their spaces.
Sorry, can I just ask a question? I can't, mine doesn't seem to be working, Chairman. I can't hear through the speakers.
No, you should be out, should be coming out the speakers in the.
We just pause a minute. I'm sure we can.
Yes. Sorry, can you turn your mic off and see if that is talking?
Oh, I only just turned it on.
Can you? Yep. Can you hear me now?
Is
it
coming
out
now? No,
it's
not.
Sorry,
it's coming out. Sorry, you speak. Yep.
You
can hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you try that for me now?
Go on.
Yeah, is that any better?
It's coming out.
Is now.
Yeah. Sorry.
Thank you. Sorry, Chairman. Thank you.
Would you like to continue? Thank you.
Yes. Sorry about that.
That's okay, don't worry. So on neglect, that all of the pieces of work were initiated last year, but they continue through this year because neglect continues to be a priority and an important piece of work for us as a partnership. In terms of the work on a family approach, it is what it says, and it's to help our professionals take a family approach to their work. So by default, we have been working with our colleagues within the Safeguarding Adults Board as well because they're working to the same message. So within the highlights that we've given you, we've developed a joint protocol on what the boards define as adopting a family approach and how professionals can use that in their work with adults, adults that care for children, children and their families, the whole family. That was drafted last year and has been developed this year to be supported by another online toolkit, and that is again available to all professionals on the island, but it's going to be applied across all of our Pan-Hampshire areas as well, so Portsmouth, Southampton, Hampshire and the Isle of Wight, on the basis that we have professionals and services that work across all of those areas, families that move between those areas, and it's important that we're all working to a common understanding. And that piece of work, while started last financial year, will conclude shortly and be launched in January. So to support that, we again will have bespoke training that has been developed and is delivered by Isle of Wight professionals, to Isle of Wight professionals, again, free to attend and accessible for those within the children and adults workforce. Last year, we did a large multi-agency conference on building emotional resilience within children. This year, we have just held our recent conference, which was last month, and that was on living in an online world. Again, I think we had a couple of hundred professionals. professionals from across the sector on the island to place. Always receive really positive feedback, free to attend, and it just provides a really good forum for us to get everyone together and think about the safeguarding needs and how we apply what we've learned. In addition, around safeguarding children from sexual abuse, we have been successful in securing funding from the Office of Police and Crime Commissioner for the last financial year and current financial year to deliver a range of drama-based workshops for schools on the island. Previously, colleagues would be aware of Chelsea's Choice, which focused on child sexual exploitation, and we have this year we've gone on to use other courses and other workshops that have focused on sexual exploitation in boys, because we know that that's a risky area too, and one that's often less well understood and underreported. And also the LSCB supported the delivery of the LGBT plus conference, again for all professionals and children and adults workforce that took place on the island earlier this year. In terms of our priorities for this financial year, you'll see where those themes continue and carry on from. We continue to have a family approach, safeguarding children in a cyber-enabled society, and leadership and transformation. And that last point encompasses a number of areas of our business. One, supporting our scrutiny, challenge and assurance function, particularly where we have a number of agencies within the core partnership that are redefining their teams and how they do things, and we ensure that our board partners keep each other up to date on what they're doing so that they understand how services might be being changed or reconfigured and how that might impact on others in the partnership. Colleagues within the Argonne Trust present to us on a quarterly basis on their improvement journey, and particularly the areas that are impacting on children's safeguarding. We have an open dialogue on how those plans are progressing. And you please might note that towards the end of the briefing paper, there's a section that outlines the changes in statutory guidance that govern what is currently the LSCB. The Department for Education published a new Working Together Safeguard Children in June, which changes the partnership arrangements, the Safeguard Children partnership arrangements going forward. The board has been reviewing its governance structures over the last few months, and we are taking proposals to our meeting in 2 weeks' time to consider what our partnership structure and governance functions will be going forward. Very happy to take questions.
Just one quick question. The new setup, when it comes, it'll have the same statutory powers that you have at the moment as a safeguarding board?
Yes and no. So the new working together, technically, technically abolishes LSCBs as we are currently set out, and local safeguarding children boards cease to exist, but they are being replaced with local safeguarding children partnerships. And the statutory responsibilities and the functions and the accountability of those partnerships lies with the local authority, the conservatory, and health providing CCG for an area. So that's a slight subtle shift, but the functions of which still stay the same, and the list of partnership agencies that are invited to participate in the partnership agencies, and once invited to by those three key partners, have to do so, are exactly the same as the partners that we currently have sitting around the table. So if you look at the wording of the guidance, it does look different, but in practice, it won't be.
Thank you. Right, we have questions from my panel at the moment, please. Councillor Andre.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for a very comprehensive report, and it is very reassuring. I'd just like to pick up on one thing, paper B on page one, under the introduction section, that there are pressure points in relation to the increased activity. Now, I know within the report it states things that are going well and things that are going not so well, but specifically those pressure points, can you just elaborate upon that for me and how you are actually managing that? Thank you.
Okay, within the whole environment, I would say when we refer to pressure points, issues within the system at the agencies, and that largely comes down to the increase in referrals or the numbers of children and families that professionals are working with, and then I guess the pressures that all agencies are facing in terms of their budgets and staffing. There's nothing that this committee would not be aware of. And the way that we look at that within the partnership is the assurance through transformation section that I refer to. It's a standing item on our agenda. There are always elements that we include in that, but whenever a service or an agency is restructuring or transforming or changing what they do to respond to pressures or indeed anything else, they always make sure that our partners are aware so that we can have open dialogue about whether there is to be any recurring impact or different ways of working, and people just need to be aware of
that. Can I just come back? Thank you. So it's an ongoing process, standing up. That's very reassuring. Thank you.
Is there anybody else? Yes, Rob.
Thank you. I was just looking at on page 11, you mentioned about the partners and that list remaining the same. I also noticed that the meeting attended for some of those partners isn't any. I wonder whether that's to do with specific agendas not being relevant or a lack of engagement with certain partnerships that could be better than they are.
B13 you're referring to?
It's B11.
Sorry,
B13, page 11.
Okay, so in terms of, if I get that in 2 points, if that's okay.
Yes,
so in terms of the members, I'm just that haven't attended any. Adult social care, we have representatives from the adults, the Safeguarding Adults Board, and we have invited a representative from adult social care to be part of the board as well. And so far that's not been possible due to resource pressures within the adult social care team. The Anglican CAFCAS. CAFCAS are a member of the board, they are a member of the Hampshire board, they are a member of all of the other safeguarding boards, and a national election has been given within CAFCAS that they do not have resources available to physically attend all of the board meetings. But they do respond to requests for information where we have serious case or audits or other types of reviews where they might hold relevant information. And the other one was our secondary school representative. So during the reporting period concerned there, we had a change in secondary school representative, and it was just a matter of availability that the new representative coming in had pre-existing other board commitments on those names. In terms of your order question around are items on the agenda relevant, they're always relevant to everyone, sometimes to a greater or lesser degree. But having spoken to all of our board partners over the last couple of months in relation to our new future formal structure, all have reiterated the value that they hold to the board, the commitment to it, and the need to have such a board forum to discuss the issues that we do.
Okay. Right, I have a question on it's B9. Where we talk about expenditure, obviously in our four councils we had to cut our budgets, everybody and everything, but we have decreased our budget by 16,000, and I'm just concerned, will we still be able to provide what you're doing now? Will it affect staffing with a reduced budget?
Okay, so the budget of the Safeguarding Children Board is made up of contributions from each of the partner agencies. So in terms of whether any of those agencies are likely to review their financial contributions, I can't speak on behalf of those agencies, but in the discussions that we have had with the board today, there is no indication that that is likely to happen. In terms of staffing within the board, we are a small team, there are three of us, so hopefully any changes in funding wouldn't adversely affect any of those people's jobs, and then I guess anything that relates to staffing in individual agencies is for those agencies to pay.
Mm-hmm. and I find it struggle sometimes to understand the relationship between yourselves and the Children's Trust. Will this be affected when we get the new structure?
No. Children's Trust is a standalone partnership between all of the agencies. It's voluntary, actually. There's no legislation that drives that anymore. And senior managers get together because they want to. It's a wider agenda than just safeguarding. It's all things related to children. So it separates off from the safeguarding element.
Thank you. On B19, you talked about commissioning the doctor. Was it that page? Designated doctor.
So it's page.
Yeah.
Page. Page 19 there.
Oh, page 19 of your report. Yes. It says the CTD still needs to commission designated doctors. Can you tell us whether that in fact has happened?
Yes, they have identified the reason to make that proposal forward. They're currently in discussions around the kind of infrastructure they need to pay, essentially. But that's all organised, and I think they just go through the normal recruitment process in terms of just doing all of the things that you normally do, and then they'll be able to announce that. But that means it's imminent, so they definitely identify somebody, and then they're just working through the process.
Do we have a time scale? Do we know when?
I think literally within the next few weeks. I know they've identified somebody. I don't necessarily want to give the names there just in case, you know, from the recruitment process if anything changes, but I don't anticipate it will. But I think definitely before Christmas, and hopefully at the next LSC report meeting, they will be able to formally announce the name of the person.
Right, okay. Right, as long as we have some sort of time scale, otherwise it could go on forever. Yes, Councillor Howe.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm rather interested in the youth offer that you put in your paperwork. Do you feel that schools are actually offering enough activities after the school day? Do you think that the other young people are actually having the opportunity to do sports, etc. after school? Do you think that their activities are being encouraged, or do you think that all we're doing is, school's over, we're going to sit and watch TV, play computer games, and that's it?
John, what page are you on? Sorry.
17.
Or youth
activities.
Ah, gotcha. It's
page B18. B18, right, that one.
Yep.
Got that section there about
marvellous. B18 is the youth offer.
B18, yeah.
Right hand side.
Have everybody got it now?
I think, actually, any of us feel you're the experts in this area on the.
Is that in under safeguarding? So I thought it was something we needed to raise.
Well, it's a more, this is part of the more generic. Elements of the report, and I think there's a specific question. I'm happy to go away and come back to you with an answer, because I think your question was, are children getting enough activity after school? Was that? I think that was the question.
Well, yeah, it was youth offer, because I felt that we should be offering the youth certain activities. I'm happy, you know, to stop wandering the streets and doing this. I mean, I understand that we end up with quite a large paper for safeguarding, with a lot of information that's been written, but it's just written because it fills the paper up and doesn't actually leave it open for questioning.
I'm not sure, John, that what you're asking is relevant to the safeguarding board. Stuart, you're happy to come back, you say, with something for us?
Yes, very happy, Chair.
Yeah. Would you accept that, John?
Yes, of course.
Right.
Yeah, I was just wanting to find out. It said that there was awarded funding through 11 organisations. And I just wondered whether these were, whether it was enough to fulfil the needs of the young people on the island.
Yeah. Cathy would like to answer that.
Thank you. So this annual report relates to the last financial year, and last financial year the Islandwide Council through Children's Services funded 11 youth organisations across the island. That was part of our youth offer. We had funded voluntary sector organisations over the previous 4 years, and also in addition to that we funded a post at Community Action to support the sustainability of voluntary youth organisations on the Isle of Wight. So that role had included supporting those organisations, accessing funding from National Lottery, other such funding resources. And we continue to provide safeguarding support to some of those organisations, and have worked in partnership with some of those organisations. In fact, some of our care leavers have accessed those provisions, such as the Youth Cafe that's in Raleigh today. We have worked with town and parish councils across the island to try and sustain that youth offer as much as possible. However, one of the decisions at council last year was that we would cease as a council funding some of those grants in the future. I am aware that the vast majority of schools run after-school activities and extended services, whether that's through sports clubs, drama groups, or youth activities. And of course, we work in partnerships with those groups. I probably also want to highlight that we have focused some of our youth funding around some much more targeted work. So we have our RAFT programme, our RAFT team, who deliver one-to-one interventions with young people. We still have our YOG service, which is a multi-agency response working at a preventative level, and for cases that escalate into the criminal justice system, so we deliver targeted support to those young people as well as obviously our early health offer and our social care delivery. So we feel that we have been able to maintain some of our more targeted elements of our youth offer while still working in partnership with the voluntary sector across the island.
Thank you. Councillor Andre?
Thank you, Chair. I have a couple of questions, if I may. I'd just like to pick up on something that you mentioned, Cathy, about the RAFT team. And I'm aware, and I have experience of the fantastic work that they do, but I'm also aware, with the funding cuts and the loss of other sort of early intervention measures, can I be assured that at the current time, the RAFT team's position is quite secure? Or is that something that you're able to give assurance on or not?
The short answer is yes. The longer answer is it doesn't mean that we can't make it better. And that might mean more efficiency. There are other services within the council. We actually think RAFT is a really good model.
It is.
But there are other services that we think we might bring together with that, which actually might create efficiency as well as improvements. So, that's a slightly longer version.
If I may as well, referring back to page B18 on strengthening families with Bernardo's. I'm trying to sort of work my way through the statistics here, and we're given some outcome indicators. 71% of families demonstrated some improvement, although successful payment by results claims were impossible in 47 cases. So my question is, how does that 71% relate to the 47 cases. Thank you.
Because I'll hold myself back on what I'd like to say about payment by results, is because they count different things, in essence. Payment by results for DCLG, as well as troubled families, has a very specific set of metrics. Whereas we might measure it a different way of using things like the outcome star, progress for families. And I don't think I've learned anything about that.
Absolutely. So we've seen progress in a very large number of cases, but there are six very specific criteria that we have to fulfil in order to claim a payment by result. So those are only able to be evidenced in those 47 cases. I will say, however, because we've been tracking the number of cases that we've been making claims for, we identified that actually we weren't going to achieve as many payment by results as we felt we could. So what we've done is restructure our plan, we've developed a revised action plan. We're working with more organisations, not just Bernardo's, but a number of other organisations, and also some of our internal services, so that actually we can make a claim as much as we can possibly claim from that programme, because we know that we are making progress for families. And it's just about demonstrating the evidence in a particular way. And so we've got smarter about how we're doing that to maximise our results.
Can I just come back in?
Okay.
Thank you. It's very useful to know that it's driven by criteria by the DCLG, but obviously there needs to be an alignment. Not that we need to be driven purely by financial, but obviously that has to be an element to be looked at, but we align the model so that we maximise, because obviously the more payments that we gain, the more people we can help and put back into the system. Thank you.
I mean, I'm going to venture into this because it is a spurious process, and actually what we end up doing is chasing the financials award rather than focusing on the need of the child. And that is frankly great for me.
This is in our budget, and it's what they will have.
Anybody else? No. Councillor Love.
Thank you. Thank you for the report. It's well set out, easily readable, and I very much appreciate that. You're happy, well, in fact, you answered a lot of my questions, actually, to be fair, but you're happy with the direction of travel and that things are beginning to improve significantly. I see heads nodding, that's...
Are you talking about the general partnership?
Yeah, yes, really.
The general partnership, yes. Yes, we are, and the board has a strong partnership. It's a supportive partnership, one where you can have an open discussion and challenge. Our colleagues around the table will say that because we've all been part of that. So yes, definitely improving, and as it evidenced in the report itself, the outcomes of children and the way to be engaged with children and families is challenging.
And just ask one question, how are the LGBT plus issues partnership represented? Who's representing that?
I'm not sure if I understand your question, but what do you mean within?
Well, I'm looking at the list of members, how is LGBT issues, LGBTQ issues, who's represented?
The answer, and this isn't a flat answer, and it's unbelievable, but it should be for all of us. Right. We all have responsibility. We go there and we represent our organisations, and we represent the, in our case, the children and families that we work with, and that includes LGBT community, ethnic minorities, that includes the whole range of children and families that we work with, and although it's not a staff group, the dimensions of that, which not staff and partnership, if I can put that way, the dimensions of that are feed through our professional workforce, and that's holding upon me, but also upon the Chief Constable, the Chief Executive of the CCG. That's what we must do.
I guess, really, I saw a supplement.
Go on.
I'm trying to drill that down a little bit, really, to to be honest, to find out where the representation is in terms of the diversity of the group in terms of representation.
The purpose of the board is not to be diverse. The purpose of the board is to represent the agencies that are directly involved with children's safeguarding. Mm-hmm. It's not that. It's not there to be purposefully diverse. The other thing that, is that the LGBT dimension is really, really important to us. And we picked up on that in our safeguarding conference this year or last year.
I guess really what I'm trying to get is to make sure that not just about LGBT, but how the board needs to have some representative from a personal group. As long as people are knowledgeable and claim to be knowledgeable, then I guess that's okay.
Sorry, I'm answering the second thing when we come back as well, but the board's sole purpose is to bring together a partnership around safeguarding, and each of us is responsible. But for responsibility, each of the agencies around the table are very responsible for the safeguarding of LGBT children as well. So it's that whole thing.
Inclusion generally.
Yeah.
I'm just having said about comments. Just one thing I would like to say on B43, where you've got priority one, working with children at risk. I'm delighted to see that the child is now really the centre of what is going on, with safeguarding, etc. It's not this be seen and not heard attitude, which unfortunately prevailed for so long. So I would like to say thank you for that. And I do know our social services, again, really have taken that on board. It really centred around the child and their opinions and feelings, not just what the adults think they know. Could I say thank you very much for your report? Oh, we have one more question.
Just one more question, John. We see in here we have different organisations. Different organisations like Bernardo's and that. I was quite interested. Is this a report from Bernardo's or is it a report on Bernardo's?
Okay, so this is a report from the Partnership of the Safeguarding Children Board, and within that there are sections that we as a team have written, and there are sections that we have requested information from organisations such as Bernardo's. So the section you see on Bernardo's has come from Bernardo's team working in Early Help. It would have been edited slightly just to fit into the report, but it's information direct from source.
The reason I'm asking that question is because you don't hear much information coming from Bernardo's. I mean, I would like to see Bernardo's come to this committee and actually tell us what how they're working on the item. Whether they've been successful. Well, I'll just finish what I'm saying and then you can criticise it. But we don't have them here. I haven't seen them. We used to have meetings with Bernardo together back in Washington areas. And I would like to just know what Bernardo's are actually doing on the island and how their success rate, etc. It's almost, and we don't hear from Yacht either. But it would be nice to hear a lot of these organisations, so how they do it, because we are in isolation, and whether this is a report from Bernardo's, it's very short.
Yeah.
But I would like the opportunity to find out what Bernardo's are actually doing, because it seems to be getting smaller and smaller as far as the argument of what Bernardo's actually doing.
Thank you, Councillor. It has been noted. Councillor Brady.
I just think, it's a very good idea, because anyone of we have been come and talk to the committee about what they do, and then it's a good idea to invite people to come to the committee. I think it's a great idea.
I was just going to say that we will make a note in the minutes that we will invite Bernardo's to come and perhaps give us a presentation of what they do.
Would it be better in a formal committee or an informal setting?
I think in formal committee. We'll have it here, in a formal committee, please.
Yeah.
you know, I'm not criticising them because I don't know exactly what they do. We used to be able to go and meet them, but it's finding it very difficult. I can go into the places and meet maybe one of the workers, but we never ever see the officers, senior officers.
Right, well, we will finish that item here.
Thank you,
take a note, etc. We will do that. Again, once again, please. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We now go on to the next item, which is autism.